Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast. With host Eddie Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new every Thursday, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for listening, subscribing, and checking it out. Much appreciated. Hope you're having a good week. And we got some interviews for you, as usual, this week for you to check out, all of which originated on my Sirius XM radio show, Trunk Nation. Be sure to listen daily, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, live on Volume, channel 106. Nightly re-airs, 10 to midnight Eastern. Anything you want, anytime you want, on the Sirius XM app. As I tell you every week, if you're in the U.S. or Canada and can access Sirius XM and you're only listening to the podcast, you are getting a tiny, tiny taste of what I do on a daily basis on the radio. So please come on board and join me here or join me on Sirius XM. Everybody else, thank you for listening, of course, to the podcast, giving you a little sample of some of the interviews that I do. Now, I recently, a couple weeks ago, came off of the latest Monsters of Rock cruise. Cruise, an event that was delayed like so many other events because of COVID. It finally did go off about 2 weeks ago, safely and successfully. There were, of course, some setbacks, given some bands did not make it because of COVID restrictions and mandates. But for the most part, overall, turned out to be a good experience. And so many of the cruisers were so happy to just have the event back. And it was great to host it once again and do my radio show from the ship, which ever since my Volume show started about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I've been doing the radio show live from the ship. It's pretty wild to be able to do a live national radio show from the middle of the ocean, but I've been able to successfully do it now for a number of years and was able to do two shows from the cruise during it. During one of the shows, an amazing thing happened that left me almost speechless as a huge Tesla fan. And that was the reunion, the unplanned, unscripted, unintended reunion between Tesla's former guitarist, Tommy Scio, and their original member and, of course, current bassist, Brian Wheat. Tommy was on the cruise partially because I helped him get on because he has a new band called Resist and Bite that I like a lot. I also love Tesla and love the Tesla guys. It's no secret, especially between Brian and Tommy, there's been a fair amount of animosity over the last 15 years. Well, as you're about to hear, I had booked on the show Brian Wheat to come on and talk with me as one of the guests. Brian showed up with Pat Travers, which I did not expect, but of course was more than happy to see. While we were doing the interview and just getting into it, who do we see standing back in the back of the room watching the interview but none other than Tommy Scio? Now, I didn't know what was going to happen given the history of some drama. Brian, taking the high road, called Tommy over. They sat him down and live on my radio show buried the hatchet after 15 years. And what you are about to hear, if you did not hear it live on the radio, is remarkable because it was unplanned, unscripted, unexpected. And for me, as a lifelong fan of all of these guys, wonderful to see. And I give them both a lot of credit for reaching across the aisle, if you will, and shaking hands. And I mean, I'm rarely rendered speechless, but as you may hear in this, I'm not sure. I'm just looking across the table and I am just shocked that I am watching Brian and Tommy sitting next to each other live on my radio show, working this out as you're about to hear. So I'm thrilled to bring this to you. I'm thrilled that this happened. Of course, Brian and Tesla continue on doing their thing. Tommy has his band Resistant Bike that played a couple great shows on the cruise. I suggest you listen to them if you haven't already. And in the middle of it is Pat Travers. Pat Travers just like hanging out and, you know, almost mediating at times. Just an amazing moment. I'm thrilled to bring you on the podcast. Also booked that day was Rick Allen of Def Leppard, who you'll also hear during the podcast. And he comes on and, you know, he shares with us his thoughts about the stadium tour and his artwork that he was selling on the ship. So really a pretty amazing day. I wanted to bring it to you from the Monsters of Rock cruise, the reunion of Wheat and Skio with Pat Travers plugged in and Rick Allen coming in and some solo time with Brian Wheat as well. If you're a Tesla fan, a Def Leppard fan, you are a Pat Travers fan. You are going to love this. And we're going to get to it here in a second. Just a reminder, social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page, eddietrunk.com. And told you about the radio show already. Be sure to listen to that. And if you happen to be in Vegas this weekend, see you at Metallica on Friday, out and about. Should be awesome. I think that kind of covers it. So let's get to it. Here it is from the Monsters of Rock cruise. Tommy Skio, Brian Wheat reuniting. Pat Travers, Rick Allen. Enjoy. All right, we're back. And we're live here on the Monsters of Rock cruise. And so this is a lineup of guests that I didn't know was happening up until 30 seconds ago, ladies and gentlemen, but it's quite significant. We have here Brian Wheat from Tesla, everybody. We have here in the middle a hero to both of these guys, and many on this ship, the legendary Pat Travers, ladies and gentlemen.
No doubt about that.
And in a scenario that Brian just thought he's going to have to revive you or what? Because what I'm about to say is unbelievable. Joining us right now with Brian Wheat here is former Tesla guitarist Tommy Skio, ladies and gentlemen, who is on this ship with his own band called Resistant Bite that kicked ass last night in the theater. Although Brian, who went to see you, was just saying your guitar needed to be louder.
We just talked about that, but we're having fun. So yeah. We just do what we do, you know.
You got another show tonight to do.
Yeah, we'll crank it up there. Huh?
The guitar will be plenty loud tonight. Brian and
I'm going to make sure Tommy's guitar is turned up.
Brian's going to come in and do sound, he said.
Nice. You know me, I like to swing that bat, right?
I said, calm down, Brian.
Okay, all right. Fuck.
How long has it been since you two have seen each other?
Been years. I think I saw him last night for the first time. 16 years.
Oh,
been a while. And, you know, everyone just thinks, everyone thinks like we hate each other and all this stuff. And it's just not true, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think when I left, there was maybe some weird stuff going on and maybe things were said. But it's, you know, he's my brother. I've known him forever. And we've just did a lot of stuff, a lot of great stuff together. And there's always that, you know. I don't throw that away either.
No,
I remember when I first met Brian. This is Pat. He came to see me in Santa Rosa, right?
No, the boardwalk.
Oh, Sacramento. The boardwalk.
I came the second night.
Right.
I was punting the second night.
And
nice.
You didn't come up to Santa Rosa?
I did the next night.
Oh, yeah. And that was 1992 or 93.
No, we were making Psychotic Supper.
Yeah, that's right.
And I played you Edison's Medicine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, of course,
that's when you first
Tommy.
Met?
Yeah. And then I would meet you.
Through Brian is how I met you.
Yeah, and they were confusing times for you guys because you'd been so successful and worked so hard, and it just, you know.
It was a weird time, wasn't it?
Yeah, get.
What's that, psychotic just, supper period you're talking about?
Yeah, that was.
But what's weird when I hear that about bands is out of that.
The best album.
Always comes great records.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of tension or drama.
Sure,
or,
yeah.
You know, you hear about Aerosmith loaded out of their mind on drugs, but Rocks is the best record, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for Tesla, Psychotic Supper may be my favorite Tesla record. I don't know where it lands. I think it is mine. You, Tommy, it is.
I think so.
And you, Brian, as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're just saying, Pat saying too, that it was a weird time, but it came from that. What do you think it is? The tension manifests itself in the music, or?
Yeah, I think
I couldn't. I don't know, man.
People just get tired
of each other. Well, listen, I'm going to say this one time, and you guys can end this, leave it. Me and him went through a lot of shit together, okay? We learned how to play together. We wrote great songs together. We shared girls when we were young and single.
You've even embarrassed Tommy.
No, I've
been trying to live a straighter life lately, man.
I said when we were young and single, we're in our 60s.
Young and dumb.
Yeah. We're not young anymore.
Brian,
single.
That goes without saying.
Right, but okay. So I may have called him a bastard, and he may have called me a bastard, right? That's what brothers do.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't let anyone call him a bastard. And, he probably wouldn't let me, but this is something that me and him did. But in spite of it all, we have this body of work that we did together.
Yeah.
And there's a mutual respect and love that's
there.
That's
right.
And I'm glad I saw him yesterday. I was really freaked out about it because I didn't know.
That's what Eddie told me, and I was like, Brian, why would you know?
Well,
what?
Because you just see the things that are said.
But there's no doubt that I, you know, talked my share of shit about Brian.
Me too.
There's times I was hating him, but again, we had a long history, a lot of great music, and seeing him last night was. My wife even said, "As your soul,
it's good for the soul.
Good for your soul." And I says, "I think my soul was all right, but I'll admit it was kind of cool. You know, it was good to see him." You know?
It was, and honestly, I saw him and he smiled, and when he smiled, it was like, what
"I've been
could
smiling
you
a lot lately."
I
dude.
Know it's nice to see you smile.
That's what everyone says. They're like, "Cause I'm
you have
always
a nice
just,
smile."
Well,
man.
I don't know. Maybe I've been depressed for the last 10 years until I got this band together.
I know
right?
about
true.
Depression.
That can happen.
We all know depression. All three of us.
It can
there.
Be a sneaky.
You think
thing,
I was bad man. When I left, dude? You should have seen me after fucking.
I heard.
After I, oh god damn.
I heard about you,
son.
So, Tommy, how'd you come out the other side and get this band together? I mean, you know,
it's a great band.
Yeah, Resistant Bite, they're playing on the ship. I hosted your release party in October back in Atlanta. A great set. The record is out now. Everybody should check it out. And you're on this ship playing two sets. Tell us about this band coming together because, you know, you went through a lot. Beyond the departure of Tesla and your personal demons and all of that, you were sending me stuff. And I remember, Brian, we even talked about this. You were sending me stuff that it was okay, but it
sure.
wasn't the quality
was just,
of what you're doing.
I was just kind of doing – I just kind of filling time, man. I love music, you know, so I was making music, some kind of punk stuff I was getting into and just – different stuff, but and I'm not a real schmoozer type of guy, so it took. I always told my wife was like, "Hey, man, you got to go out and meet people and put a band together." And I'm like, "It's just not my way, man. It's not, I don't go and do that. I just don't, right?" So this thing happened real naturally, and that's how I like it. It just came together. I didn't have to do a thing, and then it came together like that, and it was so perfect, and the vibe and everything, it's unbelievable, but it happened very just naturally and organically, and I love it, man.
The collaboration is probably the most powerful thing when it comes to creativity.
And we had that right from the get-go, too. It was fantastic.
Our best songs we all wrote together. Yeah. I mean, you know, seriously. I mean, when you're Shine Away, that's me, Frank, Tommy, and Jeff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Try So Hard, I was sitting in Tommy's bedroom when we did that. Me and Tommy.
One take, man.
One take.
Solo.
The solo's
try
amazing.
So hard. It's amazing.
I said,
solo.
You got to
people
that
love that solo, too. It's so funny. It's all cranky, you know.
It's great solo.
Yeah. So, Pat, that's interesting that you say that because here you got Brian and Tommy talking about their days back in Tesla, the collaboration aspect. Tommy talking about his current band, how it felt. And you're saying how important that collaboration is. But you, almost your entire career, has been basically a solo artist.
Yeah.
So is that, but you, of course, you worked with Pat Thrall and other people, but tell us about your view on that.
And, you know, for a long time, I felt burdened by being the only guy trying to write the music, and that is just drives you crazy. Mm-hmm. But when you get somebody else, and sometimes it doesn't even need to be another musician, an engineer, or a producer, and you start to bounce ideas around, because, you know, when you're doing everything yourself, you always start to second guess yourself as well.
And it's right? hard to stay excited that way. When you're with someone else, man, there's a real excitement, yeah. connectivity that happens when you're doing music like
and
that.
And they can together. Point out parts that you might be overlooking or come up with another little twist on something, and then that sparks you, and you go, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. So, but I think writing or create, whatever type of creativity it is, having collaboration is super important.
You know, I'm curious about you guys, because Pat, you probably got about, I don't know, roughly 7 to 10 years in terms of career time on Tommy and Brian, and where Tesla started and all of that. And we're all different people now. Brian, you just referenced it. You know, everybody grows up, everybody changes, everybody evolves at some point. But for, as far as playing is concerned, as players, Brian, you as a bass player, Tommy, Pat as guitar players, how has your playing evolved? How has your playing changed since you first started?
I just learned how to play last week.
I was going to say that.
You know what?
Yeah, I did too.
That's how it is, man. Yeah, I'm constantly learning, man. I mean, I feel like I just keep getting better. True. And I work at it harder now that I'm older than I did when I was younger. Because when I was younger, like Brian would say, I just wanted to fuck chicks and do dope, man. That was it. And now it's just different. It's just like really get into the music and my actual playing better. I don't know if I'm necessarily bad. I got a weird style. But, yeah, I think I think I'm better now.
You have your own style.
Yeah, yeah,
there's no
definitely.
Doubt about it.
Definitely.
Yeah. I have always said that.
That's
true. He plays, you know, it's him.
It's like no one else,
I think.
And
Pat as well. And
definitely.
And me to a certain degree, even though I'm ripping off Paul McCartney. But there's not a lot of guys that want to rip off Paul McCartney. They don't see the value in it. They want to play like...
I see the value in it.
We were huge fans of Pat before we met him. I mean,
seriously.
Back in the day, I mean, you know, he was huge. He was just, we loved him, man. Big influence on me, for
sure. I'll tell you guys how I met Pat. So, at the pretty much the height of Tesla's career, we were making Psychotic Supper, and, you know, Love Song was a big hit, and Signs was out, and that was before. So we were pretty big at the time. And so I'm thinking, I'm going to use this celebrity. I'm going to go meet my hero, one of my heroes. I have a couple heroes, Paul McCartney, Pat Travers, Freddie Mercury, and Jimmy Page. And I've met all of them except Freddie Mercury, unfortunately. And friends with two of them and acquaintance with one of them. But so I go to this little club in Sacramento called The Boardwalk, and this guy, Pat Butler, who used to bring us dope.
I remember Pat Butler.
Of course you do, Tommy.
Masquerading as a sound man, right?
Yeah.
I said, and he was running sound. I said, dude, I want to meet Pat Travers. Take me back in the back room, please. I'm like giddy. I'm like a kid. And I walk back there, and I said, Pat, this is Brian from Tesla. He said, how you doing? I said, hey, man, big fan, cool. So we just hit it off, and I think I said, hey, man, can I have your number and call you sometime? And you went, yeah, sure. Because I've always, through all the years, through all the shit, Tommy, my first divorce, everything, I've always called Pat and said, hey, man.
That's true.
He's like a big brother. Like, hey, can you get, even though we don't see each other as much as we used to, we don't talk to each other, it's like me and Joe Elliott, right? Yeah. It's the same thing. He's like a big brother to me. So he's seen all this.
Yeah.
Firsthand, he was there the whole time.
And you don't even want to know my thoughts on the whole thing. I'm not going to say nothing.
On what?
Well, go ahead.
It's listen. I think it's pretty simple, really.
People, Pat, move your headset up just a little bit.
Sorry,
your mic got low. There you
people
go.
People do get a little tired of each other, and
fuck yeah,
you know,
man.
And I don't think also sort of grudges and things start to develop and never get resolved.
Being in a band,
you know,
is fucking
and then
hard.
It just
it's
takes
hard. Very hard. When you have five,
yeah,
like Pat, you say Pat, it was Pat, right? It's a Pat Travers band. Tesla was five hard-headed motherfucking individuals.
It's hard, man.
Hard-headed. Every one of them. Me, him, Troy, Frank, Jeff, all very, very headstrong people. You try to make a decision with five fucking people like that.
It's hard.
Is you it guys any read my book? Now you know why I have autoimmune disease.
Is it any different now for Tesla than it was then?
Some days.
Are there days that's just as hard?
Fuck yeah.
Is it really?
Absolutely.
Tommy, being in a new band, Resist and Bite, with these guys that you're with now, how is that dynamic?
It's kind of the same thing. I mean, you know, we argue and stuff, but it's this band is very much like how Tesla was. I really love these guys. We all get along, and we do argue and all that. But you know what? What I just said is what we always say. We kind of laugh and just go, you know what? Being in a band is fucking hard.
It is.
After we just get done fucking yelling at each other about whatever this and that, and then we say, sorry, man, and we move on. And that's pretty much how it is. Now, me and Brian went about 12 years before that happened or something. But you know.
Yeah, and we also went 5 years before that.
But I always knew in my heart if I ever saw you.
You knew.
I just didn't ever trip on it.
I knew, and you knew. Me and you know everything.
It ain't no thing.
These guys know what they read or what someone says.
Something like that.
Brian said this about Tommy, and Tommy said this about... But me and you, we know.
But I like to think that no one really cares, too. I just...
Well,
who cares?
I don't care. I'm just glad you're alive.
Well, thank you, sir. Me too.
Seriously. Yeah. I'm glad you're fucking here.
Are we all happy that Tommy Skio's still alive, right?
And me.
And Brian, and me. Yeah. Hey.
And Eddie.
We're all happy to wake up.
I could have killed him a couple times.
Could have probably, yeah, absolutely.
That Guns N' Roses thing.
I didn't have anything to do with that. That was Frank.
Yeah, exactly. You said, some days, is it hard? Yes. I didn't go because I had a fire.
Oh, my gosh.
Axel still don't talk to me.
Come on. They're fine with that. Are you kidding me? I don't even remember what that was about. It was Frank.
Well, I'm not going to dredge it up.
I will.
I know you will. That's more of
Frank.
That we had a nice
Frank
interview.
Said it was going.
Stop it.
It's nothing.
Stop. Edit.
You know what? In no universe, I think I'd be sitting here with Brian and Tommy on my radio show, so I will stop.
Thank you. And 3 days ago, I didn't think I'd be sitting here with you and Tommy.
Neither did I. That's pretty awesome.
This is totally spontaneous, man.
I like the whole thing.
It's the way it should be.
Now you were telling me something, Brian, about Pat being, because Rick Allen's going to be coming up here.
Yeah, where
is
Rick?
Bit.
Christian?
But you were saying.
Tommy paints, by the way. Tommy paints.
I like to do art. Yeah.
Tommy, seriously, you paint too?
Yeah, I mean, his mother's a painter.
She's great. I love art.
He's
but
an artist, dude.
My stuff doesn't look as polished as Brian, but I like it. I have fun doing it.
I didn't know you did that. Yeah. All right.
You know me. I'm a slick guy.
Yeah, man.
Brian knows a guy that might know a guy that might be able to do something with you there.
Why not?
But you were telling me there's a connection with Pat because with Def Leppard.
Right. So.
Go ahead.
Rick Allen's first tour with Def Leppard on Through the Night was supporting Pat Travers. The second show they did was in Sacramento, California, Memorial Auditorium.
Right.
I was there. I saw it. Our first tour, our first tour was with David Lee Roth, but everyone equates our first tour with Hysteria was with Rick Allen. So the synergy, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you call it, the 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Tommy, you're smarter than me. What is that? You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
You're wrong about that, Brian.
But it's like Pat Travers, Def Leppard, Tesla.
Yeah.
Tesla, Pat Travers, Tesla. Yeah. Rick Allen, where are you at, buddy?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get him on. He's scheduled for 3:20, so one of you guys will have to leave.
I haven't seen him forever either.
So we'll stick around.
Yeah.
Oh,
we got to go.
Well, no, we don't have to go.
We'll just get a mic for Rick.
I'll step out.
Hold on. Whatever we got to do, we'll figure it out during the break. But we could put somebody on that mic. Actually, I just realized.
Yeah.
But
me and Rick want to talk about our art.
We'll talk about your art, yeah, for sure.
And
I gotta go change strings anyway. So.
One thing, Pat, I gotta ask you.
I love
before
guy,
you leave.
Man. I love Pat Travers,
and I gotta say this: Pat? So you started coming on this cruise a few years ago. I don't know which one.
About three years ago.
Three years ago,
yeah.
And I had seen you a couple times, but I gotta say this, and it's the God's honest truth: every musician that was on the ship the first time you came on, all would come up to me. Jesus, did you see Pat Travers?
Yeah,
so after all these decades,
boy,
you
can
are
play.
Still
fucking
still
guy as fuck.
Kicking ass.
And he does not use a pick.
Neither does Richie Kotzen, which I saw him, which was ridiculous last night as well.
Neither's Jeff Beck.
No.
So
guitar players like that can do whatever they want. Yeah. I mean, they. Yeah.
Here's a interesting story, though, about Jeff Beck and a guitar pick. The very first show I ever played in London after I was living there was at the Marquee Club in Wardour Street in Soho.
We played
famous Marquee. And we were opening for a band called Up. UPP, which was a three-piece keyboard band. Some way, Jeff Beck was producing them. So he was at my very first show in London, right? And he got up to jam with the band, and, like, the backstage door is right behind the drums, you know. So I got it open a crack, and I'm watching Jeff, and he goes, "Anybody got a pick?" And I went, "Here you go, Jeff." So I was 21, very first show in London, England. There's Jeff Beck, and I'm giving him my guitar pick.
Ah, look at that.
Yeah, but he doesn't use them anymore.
So I got to ask you this before we let you go, Pat, and this always comes up, but I don't know if I told you this part of the story. So one of this all-time great Pat Travers songs, Snorting Whiskey, Drinking Cocaine.
No doubt.
One of the most kick-ass songs still.
Anthem.
So you've told that story about the origins of that phrase, but if you can indulge us one more time, and I have something I want to add to it. But that story is actually, it was actually Pat Thrall that said that, right?
It was. We used to, when we were rehearsing for the Crash and Burn album, we would start around 2 p.m. at this big rehearsal studio in North Miami. But I wasn't that fussy if people didn't get there exactly at 2, and I had things. I had my 4-track tape. I was working on songs. So Pat's not there by 2. He's not there by 3. He's not there by 4. Around 5:00, the big studio door gets kicked open, and here comes Pat Thrall with his girlfriend, and they're just like doing this weave, nice. You know, this little wobble. And I said, "PT, what have you been up to?" And he goes, "Snorting whiskey and drinking cocaine." And
That was it, man. That's so badass.
I said, "That's a song."
Pat Thrall's a badass guitar player, man. He's badass.
He's my favorite guitar player.
God, he's awesome.
Did you write it right then?
I already had that guitar riff. So I just immediately put the two together.
Classic.
It took about 12 minutes to write that song.
So listen to this. I don't know if you know this. I might have mentioned this to you. Do you know anybody who has ever snorted whiskey?
Yeah, I think Ozzy.
What didn't Ozzy snort?
You
snorted whiskey?
No, not Brian? You.
And
I told you
the story.
Yeah, Eddie has.
Nice, Eddie.
Not involuntary. It came out my nose.
I snorted some Dramamine yesterday. I chopped it up.
I think that at some point in time, both Ozzy and Tommy Skeel have snorted everything, right? What haven't you snorted, Tommy?
Fire ants.
You snort ants.
Fire ants.
Just Dramamine yesterday.
I think Ozzy
yesterday.
Did the fire ants, right?
Dramamine. No, it came out my nostril. I was snorting the other stuff.
Right.
And I used to drink Marangi or
Glenmorangie.
And I took this big shot with my friend Peter, and it came back out my nostrils, and it burnt like a son of a bitch.
All right, so let me tell you my story. Let me tell you this story about
and he knows Peter too.
And I've got right. I've got video of this to prove it that I can show you, but so a good friend of mine, Danny Coker. Everybody seen the show Counting Cars?
Yeah, I know Danny.
So Danny's a good friend, great rock fan, as a rock band himself. So he was in Oklahoma, and I happened to be there, and they were playing at his band called Count 77 was playing. So afterwards, we were all at the same hotel. So we're all in the lobby of the hotel, and one of the songs that Danny plays in his band is Snorting Whiskey, right? So we're all at the bar, and we're all having some drinks, and I said to Danny, that was a kick-ass version you guys did of Snorting Whiskey. He goes, "Oh, yeah, man." He goes, "You know, you can actually do that." And I go, I said, "Get out of here." And we had already had a few in us at this point. He's like, "Yeah, man, you can do it. It gives you a hell of a fucking buzz." And I was like, "No, come on." Sure enough, he gets a bottle of whatever whiskey, a little glass, and a little mixer straw, the thin little straw. And he's like, "Come on." And we were like human Beavis and Butthead snorting the whiskey. And son of a bitch, it burns, but it does get you waxed.
Oh, it's the first time for everything. I'm going in tonight, man. Fuck yeah.
And
after the show.
And you thought he was nuts.
That's a
Nathan.
Cheap, it's a cheap Eddie? Drunk. There.
We have to talk after.
We just. I just said, Tommy, you were doing so well up until you sat down with all of us. You know, Tommy was doing so well. He was like, and now we're setting him off on the wrong path again, talking about snorting and drinking and this and that.
Well, it's bad. Look at that. A little alcohol and some pot or something. I'm okay, man. I fucking can't be doing that other shit. Dramamine. Mm. Don't snort Dramamine.
No.
What's that like?
You can snort. Why would you snort?
No, I'm just. It's a joke because people take it for seasickness. I snort it, but I didn't.
Oh, all right, all right, all right. So listen, let me get a break in here.
I'm sick. I'm still sick, man. Sorry.
It's Brian. But Tommy, I think that's one of the. Besides your great guitar playing, that's one of the reasons why we love you, man. It's
hey,
just,
he's honest,
you know,
right?
He's honest, and you never know what you're gonna.
He's creative.
I told Tommy a story the other day when I saw him in Atlanta. I go, you remember this? It was the Into the Now tour for Tesla.
Mm.
You guys are playing the Beacon
Theater.
That was
a great record and a great tour.
Great record, and you guys were. First of all, you're playing the Beacon Theater. I'll never forget the only band I ever saw in my life who had a giant beer cooler on stage
Hell
on the drum riser.
Hell yeah.
There was like the big one, like the ones you see on the back of a camper, was on the drum riser.
Yeah.
Like not like on the side of the stage, like right there.
It was more important than the amps.
But then after the show, Tommy says to me, he goes, come on, Eddie, get on the bus. I got something for you. What do you got? What? It's like, and you know, I've never done drugs, so I'm like, oh, man, what is this guy going to break out? I'm not doing this. And he goes, you kept going. I got 5.7 or something. I go, the fuck are you talking about? It was beer. You had just come over the border from Canada.
Strong beer. Right?
And he brought it. And now that shit's
Labatt's.
Everywhere, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But that was a thing,
Molson,
man.
Molson Canadian
like
or Labatt's.
I forget. It was good, though. But no natural ice or some shit like that. Yeah.
All right, so Pat, we're going to let you go change your strings or get your picks or whatever you got to do.
Yep.
Rick is Rick here?
Rick just sent a text. He's going to be here any second. So let's get a commercial break in, and we'll talk to Rick Allen of Def Leppard joining whoever is still sitting with us here. But Pat's going to get out of here. Pat Travers, everybody go see him.
Thank
get a
you,
chance.
Guys.
Pat,
this was awesome.
Anything you want to promote, Pat?
Well, we do have a new record coming out called The Art of Time Travel. It won't be released for a little bit, but we have a single too called Push Yourself. It's on Cleopatra.
Okay.
So we're very happy about that.
Look forward to it. And Tommy, you're leaving?
Yeah, I'm out. We're going to see you, I guess, for the thing later when you're done, right?
You guys go see Tommy play.
Resist and Bite, everybody.
Yeah.
Go see Pat play.
Tomorrow.
And go see my boy Alex play.
Yeah,
you guys
Alex,
know who the fuck's
too.
Alex.
You're everybody listening around the country that's, you know, these guys look for dates coming to you.
And
you're not leaving yet, Brian.
No, I'm going to stay with Rick. And if the sound guy's out there, if I see you tonight, you don't turn Tommy's guitar up, I'm going to jack you
That's
up.
That's awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Hey, man.
You're welcome, Tommy.
Thank you. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you. Thanks for having
Brian
me.
Brian Weed's going to continue to hang, and Rick Allen should be here in a second. We'll be back with more from the Monsters of Rock Cruise on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we're back, and we're live here on Trunk Nation from the Monsters of Rock Cruise. We're doing this again tomorrow. We'll see who we – I mean, God knows, I didn't know. I had no idea we were just going to have Skio and Pat Travers and Brian Weed all at the same time. So you never know who's going to walk by. That's the beauty of doing this thing from here, and it's so much fun to do it. We'll have one more broadcast tomorrow, again, live 2 to 4 Eastern from the ship. And then, then I'm on the ship through Monday. But it's been great so far. You like doing these cruises, right, Bri? I mean, You get to play them. You get to get your artwork out there.
10 of them now?
You've done a lot. Yeah. I mean, Tesla's pretty much probably played the most, right?
Yes.
And can we talk about next year?
Yes.
Tesla's playing next year. Are you guys excited or what? There it is, officially.
Tesla will be here.
Next Monsters of Rock cruise is April next year.
Yeah.
Sails late April, a little later than usual.
I want Buck Cherry on there too. I really like Buck Cherry.
Go watch him.
I love Buck Cherry.
Yeah. Real band.
Josh Taub can sing his ass off.
Yep. Like Tesla, real band.
Real rock band.
No bullshit, no tracks, no nonsense.
Love.
Real plug in and play rock band. Yeah, absolutely. It was good to see those guys.
That guy's abs, man, it just kills me. I mean, he's 10 years younger. He looks like, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, I see your abs.
Yeah, you don't see anything from me, man. We're in the same boat, brother. Trust me.
I never had that shit, even when I was 140 pounds.
You told a story in your book about a photographer that said, don't worry, he's not the singer.
That was Peter Minch.
Oh, your manager?
That was my manager. Yeah, with Ross Halfen, one of my best friends. The first photo shoot we did for Tesla, Peter told Ross, he said, don't worry about the fat guy, put him in the back. He's not the lead singer. And I went, oh, you fucking bastard, I'll show you. And that, like 6 months later, we started David Lee Roth, and I had lost 75 pounds. And I walked by Peter Minch and Cliff Bernstein at Newark Airport 3 times, and they did not recognize me.
How'd you lose 75 pounds?
I went on a diet.
What was it? What did you cut out?
It was just like a regular diet. Like,
but 75 is a lot. Was that quick?
It took about 5 months.
75 pounds in 5 months? I need that diet, dude.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, you got to realize I was 23.
Yeah, metabolism.
Right, and my metabolism's all fucked up. My immune system's all fucked up, so... Today it's just not in the cards, so I struggle, with it. But whatever, as long as I'm on the planet, it's all right. I mean, I'll be 60 next year, so what the fuck? No, seriously. I make the effort.
Yeah,
I try. I'm not pounding donuts.
Right.
But when the immune system thing kicks in and I got to go on the steroids, game over.
Yeah, steroids puts weight on you, right?
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. Hey, tell everybody about your art. We've talked about it before, but you do photos and then paint on the photos, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm here on the cruise this time, is promoting my art. And long story short, I'll give you the condensed version. A few years back, Tesla was playing, and Rick Allen was on the boat selling his art. And Larry, one of the guys that puts on the cruise, I said, Larry, I take these photographs. That dude that's doing the stuff with Rick Allen, you think he'd... do an exhibition? We could do an exhibition, since Tesla's playing. He said, well, I'll set up a meeting and talk to him. So I went to Christian there, the guy on the phone, wondering where Rick Allen is right now. And I said, I take these photographs. Would you do an exhibition with me? He went, no, I only do fine art. I went, okay, fair enough. So I saw him the next day at Starbucks. We were on a boat that had Starbucks on it or something. He said, hey, I thought about that. Have you ever considered painting on your pictures? I said, no, I don't paint. I just take photographs. He said, well, try it. So 4 years ago, I started doing it. And basically, I take photographs, all the photographs I take, and then I paint on them certain parts. Like if the leaves are green, I paint the leaves. If the flower's red, just certain things of it.
Is there a name for that kind of art? And does anybody else do it?
We call it enhanced photo photography. Here he is.
There he is, Rick Allen, ladies and gentlemen.
How you doing, bud?
Good to see you. All right.
missed Pat Travers. Yeah, let's tell you love.
Let's do this real quick so we can get Rick on a headset so he can join the rest of the way. No, let's do this. Let's go to a quick break, and we'll take our last break, and then when we come back, we're going to have like 25 minutes or so. Brian Wheat, Rick Allen of Def Leppard just sat down with us on the Monsters of Rock Cruise. We'll be right back. And now joining us, Brian Wheat remains, and you know him, you love him. He's become a regular on these ships as well. At one point, there was even a cruise dedicated to his band. It was one and done, but we still had a good time, I think.
I think we did.
Rick and I did, at least. Rick Allen, everybody, from Def Leppard.
Cool, man.
I don't think we'll see another Def Leppard cruise ever again. Do you think, Rick?
I hope not.
But you come on this one all the time, so you have a good time. You have a good time, right?
I do. I think that Def Leppard cruise, we were just really, it was just really unfortunate with the weather, and then, of course, with the, you know.
Joe, that's
all behind you. I'd love to see another one myself. I think the fans would, too. I think it would be awesome if you did. I do.
No, but I think the whole, Jimmy Bain passing as well.
Yes, of course. That was
massive.
But those were all horrible circumstances, which we've never seen before on a ship. So hopefully that's, nothing that would happen again.
And I've never experienced anything like it in my life, since then, which is why I come out and do these cruises,
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're on the cruise. Brian and I were talking earlier, the same thing. He was telling the story of his art and with Wentworth and how it was inspired by him seeing you do it through Wentworth. And cool. You guys are both on here doing your paintings. What are some of your latest pieces, Rick?
Obviously, the whole industry was devastated when Charlie Watts died. Mm-hmm. So that was a no-brainer. I just really wanted to honor him and just for people to know. I actually called it St. Charlie. And I just wanted people to know that without the likes of Charlie Watts, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
Did you know him?
I met him a few times. Really sweet guy.
Yeah.
Very comfortable in his own skin. Always very complimentary, and he just seemed content.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really cool.
You had told me when you sat down that you just came back from England with the guys, the Def Leppard guys getting together. Anything you can share with us as far as what you're working on? We know the tour's coming, but...
The tour's coming, and I encourage everybody to get out there, but... No, we just needed to get together. I haven't seen the guys in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Short of, technology or whatever. But we just needed to get together and just come up with a plan.
So have you guys discussed new music?
We're always busy with new music. That's a given. And I think in this day and age with the technology, it's easier to do that.
Yeah.
Send files to one another. But we've been busy. I think if people are patient, they'll see the fruits of our labor,
And you mentioned while we were in the break as well that the tour is happening. The long-awaited stadium tour is a go.
For sure. I think hopefully. I know, it's great.
Finally. People have been holding tickets like 3 years at this point.
I think now we're getting to the point where, people can be safe. People can be safe enough. I think the way concerts are being run these days, there's no reason why we can't go forward. But it's a moving target. So let's just hope, we're on track.
The first date's supposed to be when exactly?
I think Atlanta in June.
So I would think now we're already mid-February. Have you guys... you probably already planned it out twice, right, when it got called off as far as what you're going to do, staging, how it's all going to work. So is that just everything stays the same until you're ready to roll it? Or
we basically just superimposed everything that we've done, all the hard work that we've done to the next year. And, this is, 2 postponements and 3rd year. So let's hope, 3's a charm.
Yeah, yeah. One of the recent Def Leppard things that have come out that I absolutely love, because I love the early records so much, but there was a box set of the early years, which was the On Through the Night, High and Dry, and then you're looking at me like you don't know about this. Did you know about it?
No, I know exactly. Oh,
okay. And that, because there's sometimes I've done this, and the artist's like, I don't know about that. And then, of course, the live stuff on there. When you go back and listen to that, especially that live recording that's on there, I mean, you're like 16, 17 on some of that stuff, aren't you?
I'm totally full of beans. I mean, trying to emulate that stuff these days is really challenging. But, some of the Vegas runs that we've done, we actually did some of that early material.
and it was
pretty, Dead Flappard.
Yeah, pretty challenging, but fun to go back, you know. And listening to some of those early recordings, it's like we were a full-on prog rock band. it was. Have you heard it?
Of course I have.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Did you play Wasted?
Yeah.
You know, the whole time we were on Hysteria tour, me and Frank used to always try to get these guys to play Wasted.
And they wouldn't.
And they wouldn't do it. Clark said, oh, I'm not doing that. That was when we were young. We're not Wasted anymore.
Yeah, right.
Right. But, yeah, so you did play it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck. I wonder.
Fantastic.
Brian, what's your favorite Def Leppard album?
Probably Hysteria, because I lived it. You know what I mean? I was there. When they were recording, Rick, Phil, and Steve came down. We were playing in Amsterdam.
Oh, that's right. We came and got on stage with Paradiso.
Us, and, you know, we shared the same management. And there's a lot of parallels between all of us. We come from small towns. There's five of us, five of them, similar age, similar kind of music. Hysteria, probably. I mean, you know, I'm a fan. I met Rick. The funny thing is Rick came to Sacramento to play. It was on High and Dry. And me and Frank went to the show. And we had a group called City Kid before Tesla, and we went to see Def Leppard play open for Blackfoot.
I met
Rick out back of the bus, right? Say, hey, man, you know, I had some smoke, right? And we smoked this weed together, right? And Rick was a really lovely guy. He said, if you want to come tomorrow to Oakland, come down. I said, okay, right? 4 years later, or five, whatever it was, Tesla's opening up for Def Leppard in the round.
How cool is that?
I was a fan from day one. I'm still a fan.
And were you still smoking weed 5 years later with them?
No.
or are you doing shrooms?
No. Well, we were in Amsterdam, and we went out for an evening, and we were drinking mushroom tea.
Yeah, like you do.
And we had a very
colorful evening. Yes,
Rick got on a motorbike and almost got beat up, and Troy was crying, and Jeff was telling him it's okay. And I was tripping out on those things in Amsterdam. They have these machines with food in them. I couldn't vending machine. I couldn't wrap my head around it, and it was you know, it was many things. We've been together in one way or another for close to 35 years.
That's crazy.
Our paths have crossed.
That's great.
And we'll continue to cross.
Yeah.
Rick, what's your favorite Def Leppard album?
I think because of the recording of it and just the moment in time, I think Slang.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I really like Slang. Hysteria as a work, I think I have to love Hysteria because it's the one record that's given Def Leppard the freedom to be where we are today. But I think as a kind of a one-off, I think Slang was one of those. It was just a creeper, and you have to understand at the time, it was all about the whole Seattle scene.
Right.
Mm. So. I think it was a great opportunity for us to just get back to basics.
Well, that's a really interesting answer because that's kind of the Def Leppard record that is really very much under the radar in the sense that it was not commercially successful. It was a departure in sound. I think it was Vivian's first record, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
And Work It Out, I remember, I think was the first single, which Vivian wrote.
Yes.
But I remember loving that record, and I remember hearing it and thinking it was really, really cool. And it's interesting as someone who's part of the creation of it for you to feel that way, because even though it didn't connect commercially because of the times, mm-hmm. you stand behind it as a record you really love.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was everything that was going on at the time. You know, the whole Seattle scene reminded me of growing up in England and when the whole punk thing hit. You know, the whole Carnaby Street thing hit. It was like these really to the point songs, you know, no frills.
You tracked that pretty much live too, didn't
yeah?
you? Yeah, that I know. I love that record as well.
We rented a house.
They played
in Southern. Yeah. It was great.
Played it once. Cool. Like old school.
Yeah, I mean, we rented this house in Southern Spain and just I was set up in the living room and ended up sounding great. I really enjoyed just the how vibrant, how exciting it was.
I like Slang a lot. And you know, it's funny because Karabi was on here earlier and we were talking about the record he made with Motley Crue, which came out around the same time, mid-90s.
Yeah.
And the same exact thing has happened with that record, where that was a maligned record. It was not commercially successful. There were no hits on it. And if you flash forward now, whatever it is, 25, 26 years since that record was made, there are tons of people that talk about the record that Karabi made with Motley, and they love it.
Yeah.
So time has a really interesting way of changing.
We just broke up. At that time.
Well, you did. Yeah, well, you did.
We said, we're out of here.
You did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tesla did. Yeah, yeah, we said, did check out.
We said, we're out of here.
But you did. You still
Blood
did
Runs
music.
Cold. I love that song.
Yeah.
On that album.
Isn't that great? The,
yeah.
But, Brian, you guys checked out, but you guys still did stuff. You did Soul Motor.
Yeah, and Jeff
and Tommy
Bar
did Bar 7.
Frank did Moondog Man.
Yeah, so you were still doing
Troy
music.
Troy roofed.
Yeah. did he really?
Yeah, he was roofer. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
To feed your family, you know?
No, and you know what is true? I wanted to mention that, you know, during COVID, the whole painting thing is the thing that actually kept me sane.
Yeah.
You know?
The book, for me, kept me sane.
Yeah.
Because I got really depressed.
Yeah, I got super depressed.
For like 9 months, I ballooned up. I didn't shave. I didn't cut my hair. I didn't dye my hair. And one day I just woke up and went, get it together, boy. Mm. And then I finished the book off, and it was kind of therapeutic for me. And then it's like you start to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Right, and you go, okay, we'll play. I thought we'd never play again. I thought it was the end of the world. Yeah, truthfully,
it's
I thought,
crazy.
Oh,
Rick, did
it.
You paint a lot during COVID? Did you create a lot of paintings?
I did. And like I said, it was very therapeutic. It kind of just kept me sane, and it became sort of a family thing. You know, myself, my wife, my youngest, we'd all get in there and paint together. So it's become something really important in my life. It's really cool.
Speaking of your wife, she started a music career not too long ago, right?
Well, she's been playing
doing it for a while.
Yeah, she's been
great
playing
singer.
Since she was about 4 or 5.
But I know there was a record that came out not too long ago, a year or two ago,
Under the Wolf Moon. That was really cool. Actually, I'm going to be playing a few shows with her. I'll be City Winery in D.C.
Okay.
I think 21st of March.
Okay.
And then if people go to Lauren Monroe Live, go check out the link tree. It'll tell you everything that we're up to together.
We talked about favorite Def Leppard records to close this out on my end. Mine is unquestionably High and Dry.
Cool.
I love that record top to bottom. It's still my go-to Def Leppard record. And I saw you guys also open for Blackfoot in New York City at the Palladium.
Kicked
I was at
ass.
That show.
Did we do High and Dry in its entirety, basically?
I don't recall. No, there was stuff from the
Not
first
on that
record.
Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you did that one tour I saw you.
Yeah, where we did all side one.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Frank and Monique.
But side one of High and Dry is like the perfect rock record.
But
right
side two
there.
Is just as good to
No,
me.
I know.
Oh, my
I
God.
Know.
That's the first
it's
Mutt
crazy.
Record, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first Mutt record, and it's just still a monster
it's
record.
Is there a bad one? Come on, seriously.
Let me think.
You better watch your answer.
I know. We've got to be careful.
Him create
here.
A bad record. That would be like saying Brian Wheat made a bad record, for God's sake.
We did.
What Tesla record is bad, in your opinion?
Do you want to put me on the spot?
Well, you just brought it up. You're the one who brought it up.
I'm not a big fan of, and if you ask the guys in the band, we'll all agree that probably Psychotic Supper we feel was our best record. I didn't like Simplicity. Frank didn't like Shock. I thought Shock was great, the one that Phil did.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that's the thing about being in a band. I think there are things in every record that is good. And then I think there are things you go, oh, God, I wish you didn't do that.
Rick, is there a Def Leppard record that's your least favorite?
I think over the years, I've just learned to love all of them. And bear in mind, it's not necessarily what I think about the songs or how the songs make me feel. I go back to where I was.
Sure.
Sort of in terms of, where I was in my life during the making of.
It's like a snapshot in time.
That's exactly.
I mean, when you look at Mechanical Resonance or On Through the Night, you can never recreate that again. That was, we did that. That was the first things we ever did, right? And you can never recreate Hysteria again. And you can't recreate Psychotic Supper. Right. They are snapshots of a moment in time of whatever you're going through with five, you know, it's like that.
No,
five guys.
It's true.
I mean, he knows. Like the thing me and Tommy were talking about, having five guys in a band and a democracy is really hard.
It really is. Mm. Like trying to get everybody on the same page. Yeah.
Herding cats, as they say.
Well, but I'd rather do it with them than anyone else, right?
Yeah, of course.
There you go. But
I mean, I would join Def Leppard if they offered me the job.
Uh-oh.
Fantastic.
Somebody better let
You're
Sav
in there, man.
Put Sav on notice. Something's going
no,
on.
No, Sav's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
No.
Hey, I got to wrap this because we're going to run out of time here in a second. Anything you want to promote before we go? Rick, anything you want to mention?
Really, just the tour.
Stadium tour.
Yeah, it'd be great to see everybody out there.
Oh, you're going
to
see them. People are chomping at the bit for Motley Leopard, Joan Jett, Poison.
And our art, Eddie. We're here to promote our art.
And, well, you're talking to the audience around America and Canada.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
You're on the radio.
You're on the radio.
This is radio. So tell the people listening right now around America and Canada where they can see your art who aren't on the ship.
You can go to Wentworth Galleries.
There you go.
And there's, like, I think 12 or 14 across the country. I don't know. They keep growing.
Yeah. And that goes for me and Brian.
Me and Rick both. Paul Stanley's there. Peter Max is there.
Cardelloni's still there?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I know he was doing drum heads. He was on talking
about
that.
Me and Rick are the best, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Where's Christian? Christian's
favorite.
Christian from Wentworth is right there. Christian, are they your two best artists right here?
Today.
Of course.
We are today.
Checks in the mail.
Where's his favorite artist today?
This very moment. Guys, thank you so much. It's great to see you. Enjoy the rest of the cruise. Thank you so much for coming by. Well, an incredible moment there. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Tommy. Thanks to Pat. Thank you to Rick Allen, all the guests that came by. Maybe in the coming weeks, we'll bring you some more interviews from the cruise. Remember, if you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you don't have to wait for the podcast. Everything is on the app to listen to whenever you want. Full shows, interviews, audio, video, and much more. Again, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, be sure to join me daily, talking rock on volume, SiriusXM Channel 106, live daily, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks to Joel Pollack for producing. Thanks to Larry Morand and the Monsters of Rock Cruise and all the great fans that I met and meet. And it's so great to host that every year. It's so great that it was back. Like I said, maybe some more interviews that originated from the cruise in coming podcasts. The next one will be next Thursday. Wherever you get your podcast, thanks for listening. Have a great week, everybody.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.